1:11 a.m.
That is, of course, local time. If you look at your clock, you'll notice that it says 19:30 UTC. Isn't that a strange coincidence? I think so. 19:30, what does it mean? Oh, I guess it means it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee. I'm your host and chairman. My name is Tobe. That's the good news. The bad news is that I'm very heat sick today. It is 1,083 degrees Fahrenheit, although my margin of error there is 1 million degrees, plus or minus. And the humidity is over 90. And I'm not doing good at all. I actually had to turn the air conditioning on. And I'm still not entirely functional. But we're going to go forward with this business anyway. Because nothing can stop the Dubious Goals Committee. I have a lot of dubious goals to meet. And we're not taking any time off just because, I don't know, I'm probably dying. When I got up this morning, I felt fine. And I got dressed and I drove to Herrenhaven. I got out of the car. I walked about, maybe 24 steps. And I started to sting so bad that I just turned right around. Didn't even turn the equipment on. Got back in the car. Drove home. This is not good. So needless to say, I haven't done anything today. Mostly I've just been sitting down watching some racing on TV. I watched the E-Prix of E-Paris in Formula E last night, and that was awesome. There's some things I don't like about it, but, you know, what are you going to do? They're electric. Boogie, oogie, oogie. And then today I watched NASCAR, hoping that Kyle Busch would win again, but, he just got beaten out at the end. And then I watched some IndyCar racing, apparently from Alabama. I didn't know they had a real nice road track in Alabama. I want to go down there and race on it. I want to get me an IndyCar and fly around there. But they won't let me. Because they say, your experience in your Hyundai does not qualify you to drive one of these cars. And then I say, I'm fairly confident that it does. But nobody will insure me, those bastards. I'm just drinking iced tea and trying to stay cool. Right now it's overcast and there's thunder rumbling. It's thunderstorm time. Hopefully this will bring the temperature down. Hopefully we'll get some more rain to both bring the temperature down and make mushrooms pop up in the air. I mean, pop up out of the ground. Man, I can't even think straight. If I start saying weird stuff, you'll know what's going on. I am in the throes of some kind of cholinergic wig out, which is okay. This happens to me all the time. I'm used to it. So right now I'm sitting in front of my computer and I've got an email from Booper. And I'm going to read you this email. It just says, I don't know why I was thinking about Bellis and the tray fantasy that he talked about for months. And I'll explain this statement here in a second. But to continue, he says, how much fun was it to hear him explain how it was going to go down? How would we have reacted if he actually did it one day? I would have been in total shock. I'm glad you were there for my childhood. Nobody else would do the shit we did. Our ability to not get busted was amazing. We even avoided random bad luck for the most part. Yeah, and that's the extent of the email. That's it verbatim. Now I need to explain what it is he's talking about. In this email, Booper is referencing a person and an event in our lives. That person being Greg Bellis, who we just referred to as Bellis. Well,
Bellis was a kid who lived in our neighborhood who we hung out with, and we went to grade school and most of junior high with him. And when we were in junior high, I got to explain some of the culture here. In the junior high I went to, there was some ritual to the lunch activities. You know how it is. The bell rings, everybody goes down to the lunchroom, gets in line, they grab a tray, start pulling food off, and put food on the tray, go sit down, eat. Then when you're done eating, you get up, and you go to a window, and you basically bust your dishes. You throw any leftover food away, then you put your dishes and your tray in a window where somebody grabs them, and then puts them through the dishwasher, right? Okay. Well, when I was in junior high school, you know, just a couple years ago, one of the main things you had to watch out for was somebody sneaking up behind you while you were standing in line to, you know, bust your tray and stuff. People had the tendency to sneak up behind you and knock your tray out of your hands, so all of your dishes and silverware and tray would go clattering on the floor. And then everybody would laugh, point at you, and you'd have to clean it up, right? And so there were very many strategies for avoiding this. You know, don't go get up in line until there's nobody in line so that nobody can get behind you, or to hold your tray in a certain way so it can't get knocked out of your hands. And this went down, maybe once a week. And of course, you know, the teachers monitoring the lunchroom, they would get all mad and knock it off, blah, blah, blah. But this still went down all the time. And so it came to pass that one day, we were eating lunch, me, Booper, and Bellis. And Bellis said, "Hey, wouldn't it be funny if somebody just dropped their tray on purpose?" And me and Booper, we would never give Bellis the satisfaction of saying anything funny or clever. Or we just, you know, he was kind of, Bellis was sort of the butt of the jokes. But he had this idea that it would be funny to drop your tray on purpose. And he said, "Oh, I'm going to do it." And we would sit there and say, "Bellis, you're never going to do that. You'll never drop the tray on purpose. You don't have the stones to do it." And Greg was the kind of guy where he would think up these ideas, but he would never follow through. He was a good boy. He was not a troublemaker. He was not an attention seeker. He just would never follow through on any of this stuff. And we knew it, and we would, you know, give him a little hell for it. All right. So this went on for quite a while. I'm talking months on end. This evolved into years. And Bellis would always, what he wanted to do would get elaborated every time he mentioned it. And so at one point in time, he decided not only was he going to drop his tray on purpose, he was going to jump in the trash can. You know, the trash can that, you know, has all the leftover food in it. Now, in my school, there were always threats that the bullies were going to pick you up and throw you in the trash can. I never saw it happen, but, you know, that was a big threat, along with getting the tray knocked out of your hands. So eventually, Bellis's threat was that he was going to drop the tray on purpose and then jump into the trash can and get a bunch of laughs, and everybody was going to think he was the big hero. And this eventually evolved into he was going to do this on the last day of school so he couldn't get in trouble. So in seventh grade, from about halfway through the year to the end of the year, we had to hear this story from him, that he was going to drop his tray on purpose and then dive into the trash can head first. Originally, he was just going to climb into the trash can, but eventually this evolved into diving into the trash can head first. And eventually it became him saying, "I'm going to throw my tray up into the air and then I'm going to dive into the trash can head first on the last day of school." And of course, me and Booper, "You're never going to do that. You're not going to do that. Blah, 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 blah." And of course, he didn't. And so time passes, and we enter our second year of junior high school. Eighth grade, super fun. And of course, sometime during the first week of school, somebody gets their tray knocked out of their hands during lunch and all of their stuff goes clattering on the floor. And of course, this prompts Bellis then to turn to me and Booper and say, "Hey, you guys, guess what? On the last day of school, I'm going to throw my tray up in the air. I'm going to yell something crazy, and then I'm going to dive headfirst into the trash cans." And of course, we started flipping him crap about it. "Bellis, you're never going to do that. You said that all last year, and you didn't do it. Blah, blah, blah. You're full of it. You're never going to do it, Bellis." And it was around about this time that we started adding incentives for him to do it. Bellis would say he was going to do his thing, and then I would say, "Bellis, you're never going to do it. But if you do do it, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to jump up on stage, and I'm going to swing back and forth on the curtains like Tarzan." Because, you know, there was a stage in our lunchroom. Our lunchroom was on the other side of the gymnasium, and wedged between was the stage, and you could access it from both the gymnasium or the lunchroom, however you wanted to do it. And we were never allowed to go on stage, though that was one of the big rules. You could not get up there. If you got up there, oh, you were in big trouble. So we started telling Bellis, "Yeah, if you do what you say you're going to do, if you throw your tray up in the air and dive headfirst into the trash cans, then we will do this other thing that's even crazier." And these incentives that we would offer, they escalated. We were genuinely trying to figure out a way to get Bellis to do this at this point. We wanted to see him throw his tray up in the air and dive into the trash can. And eventually, it became... And this is where it gets crazy. You know, one day Bellis says his little statement that he says all the time, "I'm going to throw my tray up in the air and dive into head first into the trash can." And I said, "Bellis, if you do that, right after you do it, I will stand up on this table and I will run from this end of the table all the way down to the other end." And these are, you know, your long lunchroom tables. They seat about a dozen people per side. And they were all lined up, and there's like three or four rows of just very long tables. So I told Bellis, "You do that, I'm going to run down this table, and when I get to the end, I will jump from the table onto the next table, run all the way back, and while I'm doing it, I will be kicking everybody's trays off onto the floor. And I will run to the end of that table, then jump onto the next row of tables, run to the end. I will run up and down every single one of these tables. And when I get to the last one, I will jump through the plate glass window." You got to understand that one wall of our lunchroom was just floor-to-ceiling glass. Just glass walls. It was very thick. There's no way, you know, somebody like me, a 60-pound, you know, 29 kilo kid is going to go flying through this window. It's not going to happen. But I had to say this anyway, and this got Booper just to laughing his head off, which was, you know, really why I said it. I mean, you need to understand, our lives, me and Booper's intertwined lives, have been nothing about anything other than trying to make the other guy laugh. Especially if laughing will get the other guy in trouble somehow. Here's an aside. This kind of thing often came into play when we were getting in trouble or whatever. Have you ever been in a classroom that's gotten a little unruly and has been really loud and the teacher gets really mad and then she makes some sort of threat? "If I hear one more peep out of you, blah, 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 blah." Okay, well, that was a very popular thing to say for the teachers in our school system. And of course, as soon as the teacher says, "I don't want to hear another peep out of you," of course, the first person to say anything is Booper. And what does he say? That's right, he says, "Peep." And of course, that makes me start laughing, and then the teacher comes down on me, and I get busted because I'm laughing when we're supposed to be quiet. Okay? This happened more times than... And these teachers, these stupid teachers, never learned not to say, I don't want to hear a peep out of you. Because by the time we were in 7th or 8th grade, as soon as the teacher says that, then you got 16 people going, peep, 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 peep. Yeah, it doesn't work out. That's just bad teachering. Which reminds me of another aside from about the same year. When I was in, I think, 8th grade or maybe 9th grade, a teacher caught me shooting rubber bands in class. And when I say rubber bands, I really only mean one. I don't remember who I was shooting or what, but the teacher said, okay, you're staying after school, and you're going to sit here in this desk, and you're going to shoot rubber bands at the wall. And the wall was made out of cinder blocks. And the teacher told me, you're going to have to start shooting each cinder block, and you can't go home until you hit each one without missing any of the previous ones. So I said, okay. So I show up after school, and I'm sitting in the desk, and I'm shooting rubber bands, and I, you know, sometimes can hit the first block, but then when I go to hit the second block, I miss. I got to start over. And I think maybe I got 3 or 4 cinder blocks in a row, but then I would miss the 5th one and I'd have to start over. And that's what the guy told me, right? So I'm there for half an hour, and now the guy wants to go home. And he's saying to me, have you learned your lesson? I said, no, wait, not yet. I haven't hit all the cinder blocks yet. He goes, well, I think you've learned your lesson. I was like, no. You told me I need to sit here and shoot at all these until I hit them all without missing a single one. And he goes, well, yeah, but so you're only on the 5th one. So have you learned your lesson yet? And I said to him, have you learned yours? He got really mad, turned red, told me to go home. You can't waste a kid's time. You know, I'm an 8th grade kid. You can't punish me by wasting my time. Your time is more valuable. And if you're making me stay after school, you have to stay here with me. And I can sit here all day shooting rubber bands at the wall. Yeah, that's how my junior high school was. Oh, man, the bunch of teachers who had no idea. Regardless, back to the lunchroom. Well, so 8th grade continued. We ate lunch every day, to which we were late to, but that's a completely different story. And about once a week, some tray would go clattering to the floor. Bellis would turn to us, tell us all about how he's going to throw his tray up in the air and then dive into the trash can on the last day of school. And then, of course, I would say, Bellis, if you do that, I will run up and down every single table and I will dive through the plate glass window. And it got more elaborate each time. I can't even remember all the details of all the stuff that got said was going to happen. And Booper eventually, I don't remember exactly what he was going to do if Bellis did this, but I remember at some point in time, somebody was going to dump a bunch of food on Mr. McIntyre, one of our teachers who who was one of the lunchroom monitors. I think he was the low man on the totem pole. Yeah, because he started the year that we started 7th grade, so... This poor guy, we loved him, actually. He was actually one of the only cool teachers, but for some reason, we always flipped him a lot of crap. And at one point in time, and of course, this is Bellis again. Bellis read some book in which heroin was referred to as skag. The slang word for heroin in this book was skag. And, oh, once Greg learned that, he had to use the word skag as much as he possibly could. Well, one day we were sitting in the lunchroom, and he's like, guys, should I go up and ask Mr. McIntyre if he's got any skag? And we're like, yeah, sure, Bellis, whatever. And this is one of the few times that Bellis ever did anything that he was going to, ever did anything that he said he was going to do. And this is only because... He didn't do it at first. We had to egg him on for, I don't know, probably about a week. But eventually, during lunch, Mr. McIntyre, he was walking by us, you know, patrolling, It's like, how are you guys doing, or something like that. And Bellis turns to him and goes, hey, Mr. McIntyre, you got any skag? And Mr. McIntyre just looks at him and says, no, Greg, I do not have any skag. Just walks away. And me and Booper are just on the floor grabbing our sides, laughing our heads off, because it was just too funny. Just too funny. And once Bellis had the courage to do it and did it that one time, it became his new thing. Every few days he would go up to Mr. McIntyre and say, hey, Mr. McIntyre, you got any skag? No, Greg, I do not have any skag. Oh, it just kills me even thinking about it. And this happened so much that we just started calling Mr. McIntyre Skag. You know, not to his face or anything, and not, you know, derogatorily, just between us, whenever we were talking about Mr. McIntyre, we would just refer to him as Skag. You know, if we had some computer issue we couldn't figure out, oh, I don't know, I'll ask Skag seventh period or whatever, okay, right? So, Skag. Hey, Mr. McIntyre, you got any Skag? No, Greg, I do not have any Skag. Bellis's ability to say this to Mr. McIntyre was his one form of rebellion. It was his one thing. Everything else he would wimp out of. Another example being, in my junior high school, it was basically a rectangle. And we weren't allowed to walk down the west hallway before school. And there's plenty of reasons for this that, and there's a lot of more stories about this that we'll go over some other time. But we were not allowed to walk down the west hall before school, no matter what. And there would usually be a teacher standing at one end of the west hall before school, making sure nobody was walking down the hallway. And this teacher was almost always our guidance counselor. What was his name? My mind went blank. His name was Mr. Brooks. And it just so happened that Mr. Brooks was also Bellis's homeroom teacher. Okay. So before school, you know, before classes started, you know, the three of us, me, Booper, and Bellis, we'd be walking around in the halls. And of course, the time would come when we would be at one end of the west hall, and we would either have to turn around and keep walking or walk down the west hall, which was against the rules. And so, of course, me and Booper just start walking down the west hall like we owned it, because we did. And Bellis, he would come with us just because he would do anything we did. And we'd get about a quarter of the way down the west hall. Then we would hear Mr. Brooks's voice. Hey, you guys, get out of the west hall. And we wouldn't even turn around. We would just raise our hands and sort of half-ass wave at him and just go, okay, Brooks. And we would just keep walking. And we did this every single day. It was horrible, but funny. And of course, if Mr. Brooks would be yelling at Bellis, and he'd go, Bellis, get out of the west hall. And he'd be like, Bellis would just sit there moan a little bit. And he'd turn around and start walking back. And this happened every day. Get out of the west hall. Okay, Brooks. Just to give you an idea of our mentality in junior high school. Did we ever get in trouble for this? No, we didn't. Even though it was this big deal, this big crime to walk down this hallway. Oh, we never got in trouble for it. But Brooks is always yelling at us. He's always had his eyes on. I got my eyes on you guys. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Brooks. And Brooks was often one of our lunchroom monitors, along with Mr. McIntyre, too. And so we got into a lot of hairy situations with that guy. And, of course, Mr. Brooks eventually worked his way into the equation whenever Greg Bellis would say, I'm going to throw my tray up in the air and dive headfirst into the trash can. Okay, Greg, if you do that, I'm going to run up and down every single one of these tables, and I'm going to dive through the glass window. And Booper would say something like, yeah, and if you do that, Bellis, I'm going to run up on stage with a bowl of whatever, and I'm going to dive off, do a stage dive, and I'm going to throw the food all over Brooks and blah, blah, blah. And this went on and on. And it continually escalated. And it got weirder and weirder. But eventually, the last day of eighth grade did come around. We went to lunch. And did Greg Bellis throw his tray up in the air and then dive headfirst into the trash can, forcing me to keep my word and jump up onto the tables and run up and down every single table in the lunchroom and then dive through the plate glass window? Of course it didn't happen. In a way, I'm kind of sad because that would be a better story. You know, if I could finally say, and then he finally did it. We couldn't believe it. Bellis actually threw his tray up in the air and he dove headfirst into a trash can. Oh, well. But all of these stories can't end the way we'd want them to. No matter how ridiculously funny they are. And it's sort of sad to say that that was basically the end of it. Because the next year, it was ninth grade, and Bellis's parents decided that Bellis needed to go to a Catholic high school in town, so they pulled him out, and they shipped him off to, well, it gets embarrassing because he couldn't get into the schools, the good schools. He had to go to the school for the not smart Catholic kids. Oh. And what else is horrible is I don't think I've seen the guy since. Of course, the school itself was not spared any shenanigans because me and Booper returned for the ninth grade year just to pwn the school in our questionable ways. And I think that might have been the year that we ran a candy store out of Booper's locker. Because, you know, candy and gum are completely forbidden in schools. And Booper has a business mind. So if you're wondering how we made money when we were underage, I'd love to tell you more about it. But that's basically the story of Bellis and the tray fantasy. This email that Booper sent me today was just piquing my memory of the years in junior high school when Greg Bellis swore up and down that he was going to throw his tray up in the air and dive into the trash can on the last day of school. Oh, we wanted to see it, but we knew it wasn't going to happen, and it did not. So I'm going to sit here and reply to this email that Booper sent me. In fact, I think the first line I'm going to write is, I think I'm going to make this the topic of my show on Wednesday. And speaking of shows, I guess we're starting to run out of time. It's 1958 UTC, and I can wait a few more minutes before I reply to Booper's email. You have been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every day right here on Anon Radio at 1930 UTC. So be sure to tune in tomorrow and the next day because we might just hear some more stories about junior high school, or we might be out looking for mushrooms, depending how much it rains this next couple of days. I'm just going to take another sip of my tea here. All gone. Just like me. I'm going to have to go get some more. Well, I'm not going to say much, but Hello Kitty has something to say.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line.